Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Hi, it's Meghna Chakrabarty with On Point. Today on our main program, we talked about a growing body of research about opioid addiction. That for about a third of people who have taken opioids, when they do, they feel something remarkable. Not intense pleasure, but something much more fundamental. They feel like they're being loved. And in a world of fraying social bonds, economic vulnerability, and increased isolation due to the pandemic, an addiction-driven feeling of being loved helps to add to our understanding of why opioid overdose deaths soared 30% last year. But when we say taking opioids can feel like love, what does that really mean? What does it really feel like in your body and soul?
I have always felt out of my body. I haven't felt comfortable in my skin for all of my life. This idea that, like, when you're using, there is nothing but the present, it just is as close to feeling at home than any other place.
That's Katie Mack. She goes by Mack, and she's an actor, writer, and podcaster based in New York. She suffered from opioid addiction for 10 years.
I very specifically remember the first time I used OxyContin. I just remember being at this boy's house who I was in love with since I was 9 or something. And he was 16. I was 15. It was like the upstairs attic-y part. He was like, yo, you want some? And I said, yeah. For some reason, I wasn't getting what I needed to feel loved. And so there was no like one hug that was going to like solve this not feeling of being loved. There was no like high five or like soccer team that was going to like make me feel like I was part of a community. I had already sort of like developed whatever pathways that had made me feel othered. And then I got this whole other new roadmap. And then I could just drive down that. And it was faster and it was easier. And I'm 35 years old, so I, you know, have dated a lot of people. I had a partner for about 5 years who really put up with a lot from me, and I think he was very comfortable in his skin. And I think, you know, he really tried to make me feel loved. I just wasn't able to receive it. And I think that's why sometimes drugs or heroin for me was so, or felt so simple for a short period of time until it didn't. It's because like I knew I didn't have to have a conversation about it. I didn't have to talk about my feelings. I knew what I was getting. And that felt very simple. After having used for some amount of time, it's like an absence and it's like an itch. And then like when you use, you get that quick calm, your brain won't stop or this other thing won't stop. And then you're able to like chill for a second. It's like being swaddled. Like you can self-soothe, and you get to like, I mean, often you get to decide how much self-soothing you need. And I, you know, since leaving my mother's womb, right? How do I give myself, you know, what I need? How do I self-soothe? How do I protect myself from feeling bad or insecure or hurt? It's a combination of like knowing that there's nothing that needs to change about you. There's a sense that like people like you. And it's all kind of these like this locking system that sort of happens in my personal body. It is accompanied by a feeling that is accompanied by a sound effect. And it is often the sound of like a lock clicking, and then it's secure. And that feels good. It feels good. And it feels secure.
The drugs became Katie's way to connect with the world. She didn't know who she was without heroin until she found a real community, one that gave her purpose and, more importantly, unconditional, real love.
I got to the point where, like, I didn't want to do it anymore, and then I had to. And that is just a very different thing. You know, like, that's how people are like, how can you be a food addict? It's like, I don't want to eat and I can't stop eating. You know, I think people know the sensation of like, man, I woke up hungover. I don't want to drink tonight. And then you drink. That's the yuck. That is the man. That's like, it feels like it's out of your body. That's not love anymore. That's just plain itch. I had to know in my like soul that it was make a different choice or die. It was so clear for me. Just, you know, I could see how quickly this is going to go down. I think it's just like anything else. I went to AA and I didn't like it. It wasn't like fun, but I was like, I don't know. I know where it is now. And like this one person was really nice to me and like they told me to come back. So like, I guess I'll come back. And like it happened really slowly. And then how did it become a community? It's like, yo, at this point I didn't have any friends. So like these other people were like, I'll be your friend. When I finally found a community, the first thing I needed to be was willing to sort of like let a lot of my protective gear go. And for me, the first step again was a lot like my way into using. I saw all these people who are like, cool, who are like, we're talking about stuff that like made me laugh. Cause I was like, oh my God, me too. And I had this feeling of being like, I want what they have. And I watched other people genuinely be and feel happy. And I wanted to know what that felt like. Cause I don't know if I'd ever felt that way in my life. You can't get sober without other people. You can't. You can't. Some of it is just, you know, you're so riddled with shame and you hate yourself so much. And then you see somebody else hating themselves so much. And for a second, you're like, oh, I think I should tell that person not to hate themselves so much. And for 1 second while you're talking to that other person, you stop thinking about yourself. I think there's something about, you know, having something in common with a bunch of other people that just get it. I am so well loved by my friends and I feel so strongly that love. And I understand that feeling of a love that never runs out. Man, I just really like my life now. The most important thing about that is that my life is like pretty normal, but I just really like it. I kind of can't believe I'm about to say this, but the community of people I'm around is like God to me. It is whatever that means to people, right? It is this unconditional, never-ending blanket hammock catch to my life, to me, to who I am, no matter what I do. And it doesn't have like one face. It's just like this warm feeling that I know is always there. And I'm always there for it. What did I say about there when I said it felt like coming home? And that's exactly, you know, the same feeling too, like this warm, constantly coming home.
Katie Mack has been sober for 10 years now. She's based in New York City and hosts her own podcast. It's loosely based on her first 90 days of getting clean. It's called Effing Sober. Katie uses the actual word, but my old school broadcast self resists using it, but you know what we mean. And by the way, we talked a lot more about what opioids are doing in the brain that make people feel so loved when they're taking the drugs, and about how that research should expand treatment options for people suffering from addiction. You can listen to that wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, onpointradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. Mm-hmm.